إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على نهجه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فاتقوا الله أيها الأحباب، فقد أمرنا سبحانه وتعالى في تنزيل يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. ثم أما بعد، my brothers and sisters, Allah سبحانه وتعالى tells us in the Quran in Surah Al-Isra, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا إما يبلغن عندك الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلا تقل لهما أف ولا تنهرهما وقل لهما قولا كريما واخفض لهما جناح الذل من الرحمة وقل رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا ربكم أعلم بما في نفوسكم إن تكونوا صالحين فإنه كان للأوابين غفورا. My brothers and sisters, right from the very beginning, for a lot of you, you are familiar with some of the verses that I've recited. These verses are some of the central verses in the Quran that deal with probably one of the most crucial topics in our day and age, and that is how we deal with our parents. Now, I know that everybody sitting here, you're well acquainted of the topic of parents, and we need to be respectful with them, and we need to be righteous towards them, and so on. But perhaps I'll give you a perspective about these particular ayat that you have not heard of, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. The first thing you want to know about these verses, these are the verses that are called ayatul uff. It is the verse that mentions this term uff, which we will come to a little bit later, insha'Allah. These particular verses normally are used when you're talking about parents. But it actually specifically refers to parents who have attained an old age. And Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran, every time He begins the discussion about parents, He always subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by establishing worship. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا. Allah Azza wa Jal has prescribed for you that you worship none but Him. Why would you introduce a topic like parents by talking about Allah Azza wa Jal? Why would He subhanahu wa ta'ala do that in the beginning? And this happens several times in Quran. Scholars say one of the wisdoms is that you're only going to get or understand this topic or the importance of parents, the psychology of parents and how to respect them. It's only going to make sense to you if you have a good relationship with Allah. Because let's face it, especially those of you that have parents that have attained an old age, usually when parents are at that age, they become very difficult. They'll talk to you and you'll be 50 or 60 years old, but they'll still talk to you like a kid. Why you dress that way? How come you tied your hijab? How come there's so much salt in the food? Did I teach you to cook this way? They'll still talk to you like a child. And if it's not that, then you'll also have to deal with the little things that they want. You know, their furniture to be a certain way. They want you to walk a certain way. Put this here, put there, put this there. They're very meticulous about their way of life. So this ayah is going to teach you how to tolerate that. And the introduction Allah gives you is, you better make sure you are grounded and firm with your relationship with Allah before you have a good relationship with your parents. The one who does not or has a bankrupt relationship with Allah, you're going to find your relationship with parents an extremely difficult one. Come back to 2016. Look at what happens to children today. You know, a lot of you here, a lot of the brothers and sisters, the fathers and mothers here, you remember when you were a kid and your father told you or your mother told you to do something? What would you do? سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. You would listen and you would obey. Even if she told you, or your father told you, I need you, I want you to marry so and so, you wouldn't even ask questions. You would just go and marry that person. Because why? Your parents said so. Well, look at kids today. When you tell a child you need to be good to your parents, they'll ask you why. He never did anything for me. He promised that he would give me an allowance, and he never did that. Justify to me. Tell me why I should be good to my parents. That's the fitna that we deal with today. Once upon a time, being righteous to parents was the easiest command in the Quran. Today, it's one of the most difficult commands in the Quran. This is the fitna that we're dealing with. Where is all of this coming from? The answer, brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers, if you're trying to get through to your kids about this topic, the answer is, look at Islam in your house. The irony of all ironies is some parents bring their children to the masajid, walhamdulillah. Put them in Islamic schools, walhamdulillah. Give them their Islamic dosage wherever they can find it, walhamdulillah. And forget that the real Islamic school is your house. The real Islamic reminder is from you. The real Islamic example is you. And you're losing sight that trying to solve one problem, but you're creating a whole bunch of other little problems in between. This is why Allah keeps reminding you. When I'm going to speak to you about parents, this discussion starts off with Allah's worship. Look at how Islam is in the house. It's a dilemma that when their children come to an Islamic school and they're listening to Quran, but when they're driving back in the car with you, they're listening to songs and music. What kind of message are you sending these kids? Then they become very confused. You have to make a decision and you have to really assess what does Islam, the worship of Allah, look like in your home. Then Allah continues in the verse. And then this is when things get real. Allah Azza wa Jal uses a term we all know, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ أَحْسَانًا مَا قَالَ وَبِالْأَبَوَيْنِ أَحْسَانًا. Now there's two ways you can say mother and father in Arabic. Number one, father is usually called أَبُن, father. Mother, أُمٌ. Another way you can say father and mother in Arabic is walid and walida. What's the difference between the two? Abun and ummun is just your mom and dad. Walid and walida is your biological parents. Allah is talking in this ayah or in all throughout the Quran. You need to have ihsan, especially with your biological parents, whoever they are. Do you notice Allah doesn't put a condition? Allah doesn't say, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. Allah doesn't say that they have to be your biological parents who are practicing Muslims. Allah says as long as it's your birth mother, as long as it's your biological father, they deserve ihsan before anybody else you want to call mom and dad. So where does that leave us? This is the answer now to a lot of Muslims who have non-Muslim parents. And they always ask the question, what should my relationship be with my parents? صَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. You should be really good. And Allah says, in the dunya ma'rufa. This term ma'rufa is a universal standard. Allah is saying to you, be good to your parents just like everybody else in the world and how they are good to their parents. Whatever is classified as good and righteous, that's how you should treat your parents, Muslim or not. This is something that is unanimous and is agreed upon bil ijma' among scholars. Why use the term ihsan? Let me ask you a question. What is the highest state of iman? The highest state of iman is called ihsan. Ihsan, by definition, is that you worship Allah as though you see Him. But you can't see Him, He sees you. Think about when you're at work and the president is watching you. Are you going to be sloppy on your job? No. Because you can see the president and the president can see you. In our case, Allah says He is a Sami'ul Basir. He's watching and He's listening to you. That is the highest level of Iman, when you're worshipping day and night. Because you always look and you always think that Allah is watching me. That's actually a starting point when it becomes righteousness to parents. You end your Iman with Ihsan, but you start your obedience with Ihsan to parents. That's how much respect they deserve. You don't have time to try to work obedience and build respect for your mom and dad. Allah is literally saying to you, just do it. Stop asking questions. Your father told you to do something, you do it. Your mother told you to do something, you do it. Don't ask why. Don't say inshallah. Don't do anything. You need to have ihsan when you're dealing with them. Do what they say. As long as they're telling you to do something good and you don't get it, do it. Then Allah continues. Things start to get a little bit more interesting in the ayah. إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرُ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا. So Allah now gives you a situation. This is the gist, the heart of the ayah. Allah is saying to you now, if one of your parents or both of them have attained old age, so this ayah is specifically dealing with parents who are at an old age. They can't mobilize themselves, they can't move around, they can't do much for themselves. Allah says that when they're at that stage, here's the first thing Allah says to you. He doesn't say cook for them. He doesn't say clean for them. He doesn't say do this or do that. The first thing Allah says is don't say oof. Watch your tongue. Watch how you speak to people who are old enough to be your mother and father. Watch how you speak to them. Our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us that whoever curses a man and that man is able to be your father, you are punished as though you cursed your own father. So apply that logic to the ayah. Anybody who's old enough to be your father, to be your mother, respect them and don't say oof to them. Look at the image that Quran paints for you. Then come back to 2016 and see what the world looks like. Today, subhanAllah, you see these young kids? You gotta feel sorry for them. Because you know what they're being fed? They're being fed TV shows that have parents and the parents look like idiots. They're the biggest goofs in every TV show. Think about it. The kid doesn't want to go to the mall with the dad because that's really embarrassing. That's what's plugged into their brains. And now you have to try to figure out how to show and present, subhanAllah, you have to try to prove to yourself that you are a worthy person to your child to be seen in public. That's what we're dealing with now. It's the heart, one of the most difficult commands for young people. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us strength. What exactly is uff? In Arabic, this term uff is called ism fi'l. It's the name that describes an action. What kind of action? Uff, the Arabs would use this term to describe something that was displeasing to their eyes. It was disgusting to look at. That's why one statement mentions that Arabs would describe the trimmings from your fingernails. So the nail trimmings, when they fall on the floor, they would say uff, meaning this is disgusting and it's dirty. So uff literally means something that's just disgusting, it's displeasing. You don't want to be around that. It hurts you, it makes you uncomfortable and the people around you. Allah said, don't say uff. Uff is not a word. I just told you it's an action. So what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really addressing here? He didn't say, فَلَا تَفْعَلْ لَهُمَا uff. Don't commit uff with them. He says, don't verbalize uff. I just told you it's an action. So what is the ayah talking about? This is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching you and I something we learn and we hear all the time. Actions speak louder than words. So Allah is literally saying, don't make your facial expression say the term uff to your parents. So you know some kids, they have this sarcasm in their face when you tell them, go clean up your room, go do your homework, okay, shut off the TV now, okay, it's time for bed now. And they give you this kind of disgust face, like my mom is just so crazy. They roll their eyes. All of that falls under the umbrella of uff. And when parents who see this and they look at this, parents, wallahi, one advice from one parent to another, from a counselor to all of you. Don't let these little things go. Don't trivialize them. Don't trivialize when your kids roll their eyes. Don't trivialize when your kids just look at you like you're the biggest idiot in their life. You need to talk to them. You need to address this problem. People always ask me how I counsel kids. I don't even know. I don't even have an answer. My secret weapon with young people is listening to them. That's it. Just listen to them and respect them and hear them out and go from there. This is what you need to do. It is unbelievable the magnitude of our communities, how disconnected parents are to their children. They're so disconnected. Even percentage statistically, it's by far more than 70% of families in Ontario alone don't actually know the complete affairs of their own children, Muslim and non-Muslims. 30% maybe have an idea of what's going on in their kids' lives. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, don't even say uff. Then Allah continues, وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Say to them words of kareema, words of kindness. So even if you don't mean it, Allah didn't put a condition. With ikhlas, say words of kindness. Allah just said, just say it. So even if you don't agree, even if you don't want to, thank you, Dad. Thanks, Mom. I love you too, Dad. I love you too, Mom. For whatever reason it's burning in your heart that you don't want to say something nice with your parents, make yourself do it. There's no tricks to this, brothers and sisters. That's what the ayah is teaching us. It's not complicated. We make it complicated because you know what we do? We bring our bad habits into this. We bring our culture into this. And it becomes such a confusing topic, a confusing situation when we're dealing with our kids. We bring them in a little Jannah in the masjid and then we put them back out into fitna out there again. We give them a loose rope. Let them do, say what they want. Let them befriend who they want. You know, I remember a parent a long time ago, her son used to come home every single day at 2 a.m. and she let this go by for months. Eventually, her son got into some problem with the law. They came to my office. So I asked the mother, how did you let this go every day for such a long time? She says to me, I thought that he was actually going to the masjid at that time. Maybe he was praying Qiyamul Layl or something. Don't be naive with your children. Be real. Because remember, in our Sharia, in Islam, in the Quran, every problem has a solution. Allah Azza wa Jal, with a sincere heart, Allah Azza wa Jal puts you through things to make you better people. So if you have a defiant child, treat that child as a human being. Listen and talk to them and communicate. This is how you develop within the child's mind that when they see the opposite out there, they see the real in front of you. Then the ayah gets interesting. It continues. وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Now here's an ayah we hear all the time. Lower the wings of humility and mercy upon them and make dua to have mercy on my mother and father because they had mercy on me when they were raising me. You know why the latter part of that ayah is so important? Because every parent knows it's life and death when you're raising children, especially the mother. You young kids, you need to listen to this more than anybody else. Especially you young kids that have a sharp tongue with your parents. One day you're going to realize, one day, if Allah wills, you're going to realize that Allah will make you a parent. And for the young sisters, every mother knows that delivering a child is life and death. Your mother almost died giving birth to you. Your father is putting himself on the line every single day. So when you want your next pair of Jordans, he'll buy it for you. When you need tuition fee, he'll provide that for you. When you need protection and security, he'll take the bullet for you. Show respect Show love and acceptance and bring it out, force it out of you for your mother and father. Go back to the beginning of this verse, وَخْفِدْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ the Lord, the wings of humility and mercy. What does that mean? You see, you have to make Qur'an relate to you, speak to you. Lower the wings of mercy, who understands that? What does that exactly mean? Allah is telling you, when you have your parents in front of you, lower yourself to their level, whatever that may be. So an example is, a lot of our parents never went to school. They worked at farms, they were back home. But you lived in this world, in this country, and Allah gave you education, you have a degree, you went and got a PhD. So you can pronounce all the I and G's of every word, but your mom can barely speak English. Allah said, lower yourself to her. Make yourself at her level or even below. That's what lower your wings of mercy is to the parents. Don't think that you are better than your mother and your father just because you got a little bit of education. And I've always said, education doesn't make a person good. Education is just knowledge of a skill. You can perform a skill. It doesn't actually make you a good person. That's why you have lawyers and doctors that are terrible husbands and wives. Then Allah continues. Some of the kids probably are saying, some of you who have parents here, you're probably looking at me and saying, you know what, Brother Musleh, I understand what you're saying. I understand what the Quran is telling me about parents. But you don't know my mom and dad. You don't live in my house. I know it. I'm a counselor. This is my work. I hear everything. But here's the thing that I know that some of these young people don't know. The Quran has all the answers. Keep reading. رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا فِي نُفُوسِكُمْ You think I don't know what's in your house, but look what Allah says to you. Because you have a good connection with Allah, because you did وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا You did that? Allah says, I know what's going on with you. I know what's happening within you. I know how you feel. رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا فِي نُفُوسِكُمْ I know what's happening inside of you. So if you can't complain to Brother Musleh, you can't complain to the shuyukh, you can't complain to the community, you can't talk to anybody, Allah is saying, I'm still here. Why are you forgetting me? Why don't you talk to me? Mothers and fathers sitting here, it is unbelievable how blessed a mother and father is. Unbelievable. Everything you say and you call upon with Allah Azza wa Jalla is accepted. Every dua you call upon for Allah, especially for your children, is accepted. Why would you disconnect that and go to somebody like us, like me, and say, Brother Musa, help my kid? You are the greatest counselor. You are the greatest therapy for your child. You have to figure out a way to talk to them. I can help you with how to communicate, but you have to go back home with these kids. And so Allah is saying, I know what you're going through. And you parents, use your dua. It is your secret tool to getting anything done, anything accomplished in your life, especially with your children. إِن تَكُونُوا صَالِحِينَ If you're really telling the truth, فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ لِلْأَوَّابِينَ غَفُورًا Allah Azza wa Jalla says, He is awwabin and forgiving. What's awwab? Awwab comes from the word awwaba. Some scholars said awwaba is the root word for Ayyub alayhi salam, his name. Awwaba is literally this. I'll explain it to you. So really pay attention, it's one of the most beautiful words in the Quran. Awwaba describes somebody that walks a path in one direction for 1,000 years, 2,000 years, 100 years, 60 years. They keep going in the wrong direction. And then they stop and they say to themselves, I haven't visited my parents in almost 10 years. I haven't said anything good to them. I haven't had a relationship with my mom and dad. As a matter of fact, my mom and dad have passed away. How am I supposed to have birrul walidain to them now? What am I supposed to do? After the parents died, then they woke up and they realized what they lost. Now, I'll give you a story of a sister that I know. She was going to visit her mother after 18 years. 18 years she never saw her mom. She kept prolonging school, work, etc., etc., etc. She put akhirah away for dunya all her life, all 18 years. One day she found out, or a month, she found out that her mother was very sick. And the sickness was getting worse and worse and worse. So she booked her flight. She was going to go back home and see her mother after 18 years. As she's standing in line at the airport, this happened right here in Toronto. As she's standing in line at the airport, waiting to check in for her flight, you should have seen her. She did herself up well. She was prepared. She had flowers, gifts, so much for her mother. She built the excitement for herself. She was excited to go see her mother. 18 years. While she's in the lineup, she gets a phone call that her mother is dead. You have no idea when you have a mother and father. Scholars say, once there was a man that came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, "Ya Rasulullah, I want to be your companion, but I left my mom and my dad crying. I want to be your companion." So the Prophet ﷺ says, "You left your mother and your father crying? Go back to them and make them laugh and cry. Make them laugh just like how you made them cry. Go back there." This man wants to be a companion of the Prophet ﷺ. He wants to make bay'ah to him. But because you got parents that are sad, go back. I don't want you here. There's more reward with them. My brothers and sisters, just a few thoughts I want to leave you with in the second part of the khutbah. May Allah Azza wa Jal love and protect our moms and dads. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His acceptance and mercy upon our mothers and fathers who are with us and those who have passed on. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect our sons and our daughters. And may Allah Azza wa Jal flourish their hearts with birrul walidayn. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa risa'il muslimin min kulli dham. Fastaghfiru innahu huwa al-ghafuru rahim. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه أما بعد. Those of you who have lost your mom and dad, may Allah Azza wa Jal give them Jannah. May Allah Azza wa Jal reunite you with them in Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. Allahumma ameen. Don't think it's over and you don't have Birrul Walidain anymore. Don't think it's over. You can make Umrah for your mom and dad. You can definitely continue to make dua, and Allah guarantees all of your dua is accepted. You can pray for them. You can give sadaqah on their behalf. You can donate on their behalf. You can do a service on their behalf. There's so much you can do for your parents. Don't lose sight of this. Don't lose sight of this, and don't trivialize what you still have. And those of you who have mothers and fathers that have died and that they weren't Muslim, I get it in the Quran that you can't ask Allah to forgive them. But what you can do is hope and pray that Allah gives them the best hisab, accountability on Yawmul Qiyamah. You don't get to decide what that is. This is why the wall of A'raf is there. Allah will deal with these people. But if your parents especially are good people, it's important that you don't forget them. Because still at the end of the day, it is your mother, it is your father. They could have been the worst person you know in your life, but still it's your mom and dad. So there's so much you can still do. But at least at this point that I conclude with all of you, and especially the students here, may Allah Azza wa Jal love and protect our moms and dads. May Allah Azza wa Jal give them Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give our mothers and fathers Jannah. May Allah Azza wa Jal give them His forgiveness and His mercy and acceptance and enter them in His paradise. Allahumma ameen. These are the words that I leave you with, brothers and sisters, and we send peace and blessings to our Rasul, صلوات ربي وسلامه عليك ما أمرنا سبحانه وتعالى في تنزيله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم اغفر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك قريب سميع مجيب الدعوات. اللهم إننا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.